Now then, let's have a little look at this passage together. So we put it up on the screen now. And I'll just count three and we'll say now, read these verses together. So Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14. We'll say together. One, two, three. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. So the first thing we notice there in that passage is that Jesus was hungry. And that tells us very clearly that Jesus experienced the common needs of life. And that clearly shows us again and indicates to us that he was human like you and I. He was not only hungry, we know that he was also thirsty. He sat once at a well. When a woman came along, a woman from Samaria, she sat down and he asked her for a drink because he was thirsty. Another time he was so tired, he went to sleep in the boat as the storm was beginning to rage there on the Sea of Galilee. Also we read that when his good friend Lazarus died, Jesus cried real tears. Thinking of Mary and Martha, the two sisters who were left, he sympathized with the family in that circumstance. And so the fact that Jesus is referred to here as being hungry, it reminds us that he understands. He is touched. The old phrase of the old King James Version, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, of our weaknesses. He identifies with us in what we're going through. Now, the second thing we notice then about Jesus was that not only was he hungry, but he was looking. He was looking for fruit on the fig tree. But none was found, we read, only leaves on that fig tree. Now, we know that the fig tree is first mentioned in the Bible at the time of the account of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. It's recorded in Genesis chapter 3. We read that trying to solve the problem themselves of what they had done, we read that they sewed fig leaves together to clothe themselves because they were naked. So there's mention of a fig tree way back at the very beginning of the Old Testament. Now we need, before we look at what Jesus was concerned to find here, we need to understand the seasons of a fig tree in the land of Israel. Firstly, we could say that in the early part, probably from March, the early part of the year, there were what were called early or small figs growing on the sprouts of the previous year. And they began to appear at the end of March and probably wouldn't usually become ripe until May or June. There was also then a later and a larger fig that developed as a result of new growth. And that usually came around about the time of August to October. So there were two types of figs, an early fig and a later fig, more of a bitter fig and a sweeter fig that grew on a fig tree. And it's to the earlier fig here that we're referring when Jesus came to look at it. Often the little figs would grow even in advance of leaves appearing on the fig tree. But often the leaves of the new season and the figs of the previous season, these little figs, would grow at the same time. So it wouldn't be unexpected if you went to see a fig tree that you would expect to see some small figs, the early figs. Certainly it's mentioned here that they weren't ripe, but what was disappointing was that although Jesus was hungry and he was looking, when he came to the fig tree, he didn't even find any unripe figs ready to eat. And that's why he said what he said, because it should have been expected to have found them there, even if they weren't ripe. There should have been evidence of life in them. Now, we know it was Passover time because the account in Mark chapter 11 has the triumphal entry, Jesus going into Jerusalem on the donkey at that time. So we're thinking about the time of April in the year, but it wasn't the season of figs. But if a tree had leaves, it would also have the smaller figs with it, even if they were not ripe. It could be expected to have fruit. Now, the picture then that we have here is of religious involvement, but sadly, and as well perhaps religious activity as well, religious attendance, all those things seem to be evident, but no real experience of God in the heart, no real life. Now, if we are not yet believers, well, with the Lord Jesus Christ, in one sense, at a harvest service, we could say he's coming and he's inspecting, he's looking, he's considering us. And he's looking for fruit in our lives. Now, here's the important difference. We've lived, some of us, so long in Wales, and we understand the background of chapels and churches and Camanfaganis and all these sorts of things. And this is where we've come to. We've moved away from the Bible. And we've come to this. When God is looking for fruit, or the Lord Jesus is looking for fruit in our lives, we automatically think it has to be simply these things. Our good works. Being a good and kind neighbour. These are the things surely Jesus is looking for in us. Kind acts. Thoughtful deeds. But to begin with, we must start with realizing what the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for in us is, in one sense, the two figs, an early fig and a later fig, a bitter fig and a sweet fig. What do we mean by that? Well, it's the Apostle Paul, who we know preached the gospel through the Roman world. He was speaking to some elders at Ephesus. They were the leaders of the church. And in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul said something like this. I know, he says, that I've not hesitated to preach to you the whole counsel of God. And I have taught you publicly and from house to house both these things. And these were the two things. I have declared to both Jew and to Gentile. So that means to everyone who's willing to listen, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those were the two essentials, repentance and faith. Now, like those two figs that we've mentioned, the first element, repentance, does have a bitter taste. Repentance simply means a change of mind. It means thinking about the things we have said and thought and done. And it's about having a different way of approaching it, a different way of weighing it, a different way of assessing it. Now, it's bitter to taste because there's this sentence in a well-known pop song, sorry seems to be the hardest word. And we not only have difficulty, some particularly so, they have great difficulty in saying sorry to anyone. As a matter of fact, it's a rule of their life. They don't say sorry. And that causes problems in relationships. There are others who know they have done wrong and yet can't own up. And that's when then something of the guilt and the burden of it all, because things are not right. And they carry that for weeks and months and sometimes for years. Remember how David, King David, we've read one of his Psalms, Psalm 65. But there we read of David in his life, he did a double wrong. Not only did he sin in adultery with Bathsheba, but he also sinned in providing and planning the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah in a battle. And yet when he came to recognize what he'd done, in Psalm 51, he said this, against you, speaking to God, praying to God, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Now we could say, well, wait a minute now, David, that's not strictly right. You've sinned against Bathsheba and you've sinned against Uriah. You've sinned against your own family, your own wife. There are so many people who are involved in this. And that was true. But David now was seeing the essential point. In doing what he had done, in one sense, he had gone against the plan for his life. He'd gone against the creation ordinance in his life. This was something that he shouldn't have taken on board, something he had done, something he'd given into, something he'd embraced. And he had to put it right with God. Now, that's the fruit of repentance, and it's bitter. But until we're able to own up to what we've done, we can never really move on. And then the second element then is the fruit of faith. Now, like as we said, that first little fig would be small, early fig, it would be bitter. So also then this second fruit, the one that would come now later on in the year from about August to October, would be sweeter. And so the second fruit of faith is much sweeter. And again, you see how important this is in the land of Wales in this 21st century. Because again, you talk to people and they're not only now trying to do good things and to be good and to think kind, and as well then perhaps to balance that and to say, well, if I do more good things than bad things, I'm sure I'll be in good books. The second thing is this, that they're always trying then to do it themselves, looking to themselves all the time. And then if they don't meet the standard, they get sad, they get disappointed, they get discouraged. They feel sad about their life. But the fruit of faith is simply this. It's a sweet fruit because you're not looking to yourself. You are looking to someone else. You're looking to the Lord Jesus. You're looking to the one who was speaking in this passage in Mark chapter 11. You're looking to someone who came into the world, we said, not only was he hungry, not only was he thirsty, not only could he identify with us, he didn't only come to this world to hold our hands through the hard and difficult times of life. Sometimes you hear people say and speak about the Lord Jesus like that. He came to hold our hands. Well, in one sense, I understand what they mean. But he came to do more than that. He came to put right the wrong that's in our hearts. Well, how did he do it? Well, we look away from ourselves and we look to the Lord Jesus, who his life is laid bare before us in the gospel. Never was sin in his mouth. Always obeyed his mother and father, always did the will of his father. Caring, certainly caring and kind to all those who were around him. But he comes with a purpose of living a perfect life, a life that you and I had not lived, a life that you and I could never live. And not only live the life we couldn't live, but also then to die the death that we deserved. And that's how we understand what happened at Easter time. No sin, no fault, no guilt of his own, but he dies. We know in the story in the place of Barabbas, a robber. That's the historical situation. But also he died in the place of all who had come short of God's glory and failed in the standards of life. And he bears the burden of our sin upon himself. And then on the third day, he rises again triumphant from the grave. And so we're to pray, to ask God to help us to see not only our sin and to turn from it, but also to see the remedy for it all is not in ourselves. It's not a self-help thing that we have to do, that we've got to give more money to charity, or we've got to be kinder and go and visit this, what and the other, and try and calm our consciences. We can't do it. We must look away from ourselves and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came. Now that's a sweet fruit, isn't it? Looking away from ourselves and being able to look to one who alone and embraces and who welcomes us as the good shepherd to bring us into his family and into his flock. So if you're not a believer this morning, that's the fruit that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for in your life? Repentance and faith. But if you are a believer this morning, it may be that you've recently come to faith. It may be perhaps that you've been a believer for a number of years now. Well, what is the Lord Jesus Christ? What is he looking for in you? Well, the simple answer is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. We haven't time to read the verses, but basically there are 9 fruit of the Spirit. Now, you notice I use the singular word there, fruit, because it's very much, and this is why I've taken this off the... I thought perhaps some of you thought I was going to have a little bit of a lunch break halfway through, but this is a fruit, isn't it? This is a tangerine or a clementine, and inside the fruit, we know that there are segments. You've seen them all. The skill is to open it up, isn't it, and not to break any of the skin, and then you can lay that out, and then you've got the fruit in there, and then you begin to open it up, and you might have 8, 9 segments. Each segment, you could say, is a fruit, but in one sense, it's one fruit, isn't it? But there are 9 segments. Well, it's exactly the same when you look back at Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at them very quickly. The first 3 are basic spiritual qualities. Love, joy, peace. Love is essentially self-giving. It's what God has done in giving the Lord Jesus Christ, sending the Lord Jesus. It's what's the heart of the Lord Jesus, willing to come into the world. Love is self-giving. Also then, joy. The old chorus we used to sing years ago, we don't sing it now. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, surely it must be Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. That principle then of serving one another. Helping one another, encouraging one another. But it comes because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has helped us. And then the peace that passes all understanding. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus. We could never have been at peace with him, trying to make our own way, trying to perhaps to do 2 good things for every bad thing we've done. We'd never have made it. But we have peace with God, and the peace of God now floods our hearts. So there's those 3 basic qualities. And then there are 3 qualities as well that reveal themselves in social relationships. Essential. These are essential for family life, essential for church life, essential for work life. What are they? Well, they're long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Long-suffering, well, that's the exercise of patience. Patience with one another. Then, not only long-suffering, but kindness, thoughtfulness. Big word that you don't hear so much about today. Consideration. We're considering one another. And then goodness. That's generosity of heart and action. So there, that thought perhaps of then, of providing, thinking of charity times, thinking of help those in our community. Yes, but it all comes out as a result of realizing it's a thankfulness to God. Not earning now, not trying to earn salvation, not trying to earn points in God's sight. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all, and we are looking to him, and out of thankfulness, we do these things. And then the last 3 that are spoken of, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, one deals with our relationship to God. Faithfulness to God's will and to his ways. Faithfulness to his people. Faithfulness to the Bible. Faithfulness to the ways of God. Gentleness in our relationships one with another. And then self-control or self-power is that ability to be able to keep ourselves in check. Talk about self-discipline. But it's that ability perhaps to be able to control our own emotions. Well, that doesn't easily happen. That's something, again, that happens as the Spirit of God assists us. Now, 1 fruit, but 9 segments. And the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for that in your heart, if you're a believer this morning. So very simply then, we've looked at these hidden fruits. You did so well, boys and girls, finding them in the sentences. The Lord Jesus came looking for fruit on that fig tree. Sadly, he didn't find any. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for fruit in our lives. If you're not yet a believer, you have to turn from your ways. You have to turn from thinking hard thoughts about God. He's a loving Father, a gracious Savior. And also we have to have faith in him And then if we've come to faith and trust in him, then we have to ask the Lord to enable this fruit of the Spirit to be manifested in our lives. So there's basically that little passage, and I hope it'll be of help to you as you think about it and wonder if God were to come in the Lord, person of the Lord Jesus Christ to look at you, were you a tree, what would he find on you? There is an old Sankey hymn years and years ago, finding only leaves, no fruit, only leaves. May God help us to know that we are part of his family and members of the household of God.